Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, you can call us at 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is the future. Each of my guests will be talking about the future of something, the future of teaching in the classroom, the future of innovation, and the future of the radio. My first guest is a high school physics teacher who embraces technology inside and outside the classroom. While most teachers ban the use of cell phones during class, this guest uses them to his advantage to teach children how to keep them and keep them engaged throughout the school year. We'll discuss the future of technology in the classroom. My second guest has looked at the creative process in companies ranging from Amazon to Pixar. He's discovered the linear problem-solving technique and the fear of failure we've been conditioned to embrace actively thwart creativity. He'll show us how to make little bets to generate breakthrough ideas. My third guest began her radio career by challenging the irascible Joe Pyne as a call-in guest at the age of 7. She's gone on to become one of radio industry's top consultants and personalities. We'll discuss the future of radio with her. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. London Jenks has always had a love of learning. He's a graduate of Brigham Young University in Idaho. London has recently returned from Google Teaching Academy in Australia, so good day to you. London is one of only 50 teachers around the world who are invited to attend. He was awarded the slot for his innovative use of technology in the classroom. This was not the first time that London had been honored for his teaching. 2 years ago, he was named the Knowles Science Teaching Foundation Fellow. The Knowles Science Teaching Foundation is a leader in recognizing, recruiting, and rewarding the next generation of high school math and science teachers. In addition to teaching, London enjoys designing and building furniture and physics toys, and he's also interested in amateur cinematography. Welcome to the show, London. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
Well, thank you for being our guest here on the show, and appreciate your taking time out of your schedule to do that. It's so very interesting that you were awarded this trip to Australia because of the innovative way in which you help high school students really understand physics. And in this country, math, physics, and science in general are areas where we need to improve because we're losing ground daily to other countries around the world that are doing such a better job of it than us, with the exception of you. But in many classrooms, it's an ironclad rule that there are no cell phones in the classrooms. And you've turned that rule on its ear because you invite children to use cell phones in the classrooms. How exactly do you encourage the kids to use electronic devices in the classroom?
One of my favorite ways to use it is a service, a free service known as Poll Everywhere. And it's a great formative assessment tool where the students can text their responses to me. So both in the class, I'll put a question on the board, and they'll text their answers using their cell phones in, text their answers in using their cell phones, and also I do it as a reading assignment or questions outside of class. So I get their questions, their ideas, while they're doing the assignment rather than, you know, having to try and force them to bring it back out, you know, up to a day later when they're back in my class. So the cell phone really makes it so I can see exactly what every student is thinking using this service of Poll Everywhere.
Now, the software is called Poll Everywhere. Is this the 21st century equivalent of the pop quiz?
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, it's an easy way for them to, you know, pull out their cell phones and, you know, send it in You know, as you mentioned, most classes don't have their cell phones, and it's one of my favorite things to, you know, the first time I invite students to, you know, bring their cell phones out, they look at me, they think I'm going to confiscate all of their cell phones, and it's just, it's an exciting thing for them to actually use it for something other than just socializing with their friends. They get to see it as a learning tool rather than just as a socializing tool.
All right, London. Well, now take me through this. So you throw a question out to the class using this Poll Everywhere software. They text you back the answers. You get immediate feedback, but what is that also helping you to do in terms of changing in mid-course or customizing what it is you're presenting to the children?
Well, definitely. I mean, I can see what students' problems are, what questions they still have, and, you know, we can, like you said, change the lesson mid-flow, focus on something that they're, you know, struggling with, or if they all get the question, you know, perfectly, we move on to something more advanced. And one of the best ways that it customizes it is that it gives every student a voice in the classroom. You know, oftentimes in a traditional classroom, you know, it's by the raise of hand, or, and some students don't want to respond, or the same student is always answering the question. You know, this way, every single student responds and has the opportunity to participate.
All right, I like that. Every student has a voice in the classroom. I think that that's interesting. Now, London, are you teaching primarily honor students and advanced students, or is this across the board in all of the classes that you teach?
I teach physics, which is more of an advanced class. I also teach chemistry, which is one of the two possible required classes for juniors, so that's more of everybody, and I also teach all of the freshmen, so I get every student in the freshman class, so definitely from all ranges of students and all ages as well.
All right, and we're talking to London Jenks, everybody. We're talking about technology in the classroom, and it's very interesting how London is using technology to engage students, to get more information, and really to customize lessons plans for students' needs. I think it's fascinating. London, the obvious question that comes out of all of this is, what has been the response from the students about this use of technology?
For the most part, students really enjoy using the technology. They especially love using their cell phones. We also have a set of iPod Touches that we use in class that, you know, they can use apps or that are available there, whether it's, you know, looking at a view of the stars or the view of the Earth or learning about, you know, all different types of, whether it's fossils or, you know, physics problems, all on those iPod Touches, making it, you know, very interactive. Or if it's using, you know, the Google Apps education software and things that I learned about at Google Teacher Academy, you know, they really enjoy using those collaborative and online and digital tools versus using pen and paper.
Well, that makes some sense. London, let me ask you, though, about, because you teach in a public high school, what about students from different social economic classes that may not own a mobile phone or a cell phone? How do you handle that?
Yeah, it's a great question. All of these devices that I use, you know, example, the iPod Touches, if they don't have their own, the school has a set that they can use. Poll Everywhere, if they don't have a cell phone that they can use, if they don't have texting, I can make it available online so they can use a school computer to respond that way, or a library computer if it's after school. So the great thing about all of these technologies is they've done the effort and done the work to make them available in all these different formats. So it's really just helping the students figure out which one works best for them, whether it's, you know, from the school or one that they personally own.
I love it. Customized education in the 21st century. We're talking to London Jenks, everybody, and we're talking about just that, technology in the classroom. It's a fascinating subject. Now, the thing that caught my attention, London, of all of this, is your specific use of one type of technology, and that is the use of QR codes to teach in the classroom. So I'm familiar with QR codes. We're starting to see them more and more in retail establishments, also in magazines, where you want to learn more information, you use the QR code. But for my listeners who might not be familiar, first of all, what are QR codes? And then how are you using them in the classroom specifically?
Okay, a QR code is basically a two-dimensional barcode. It's just like a barcode you'd see on any, you know, retail packaging, except for those are usually one-dimensional, so they have a limited amount of information. So QR code is a square, basically, and it's black and white little boxes is what it looks like. But since it's two-dimensional, it can store a lot more information than is normally found on a regular barcode. So, you know, they can hold plain text, they can hold links to URLs, they can put a a marker on a Google map for you, give you GPS coordinates. They can do all kinds of things, and that information is all stored in the code, which you then scan with a smartphone, or you can scan them with on your desktop computer. There's lots of ways to access the information and lots of information that can be stored in them. And how I use them in the classroom, again, they allow students to use their cell phones, which always, you know, piques their interest, and they can be used in many ways. They've been used for, and I've used them for scavenger hunts, where students will scan a QR code and it'll give them a clue that, you know, they have to solve before they can move on to the next item or next treasure that they have to find. They can provide hidden clues. You can put the answers on a test or to a questions on a worksheet in a QR code, so when students are ready to check their answers, they can scan them there. Links to websites, all kinds of things. One way that I really like that we're using them is in our library. We've just in the last month or two set it up so that in the front of books in our library, there's a QR code that is linked to reviews of that book that students in the school have written. So they can read reviews of books in the library written by their peers and other students in the school. So there's just tons and tons of ways to use these QR codes, and, you know, like you said, we're starting to see them more and more in our everyday lives.
Absolutely, we are, London. And while we're on the subject of the QR codes, how do you create the QR code that makes these fantastic links that you're talking about?
There's literally hundreds of QR generator codes, QR generating code websites out there. You know, quick Google search, just a QR code generator, and you can find hundreds of them. It's pretty simple. You just enter your text or the URL that you want and click create, and then you can take download the picture, or you can embed it on a website or put it in an email. So they make it very easy to create and very easy to use.
We're talking to London Jenks, and he's a teacher in the state of Wyoming. We're talking about technology in the classroom and how he is using today's technology to engage the student of the 21st century. And London, you were just awarded a very prestigious trip to Australia. You've just returned from that trip where you attended Google Teaching Academy. What did you learn at Google Teaching Academy? And then I have to ask the follow-on question, what did you learn in Australia that they couldn't have taught you up north in Northern California?
So the Google Teacher Academy was a massive exposure to all of the free Google apps for education that are provided for schools and teachers. What Google has done is they've taken their apps for business or apps that are usually $99 a person, and they've made them free for all schools. And it doesn't matter how many students they have. And so it's a great and amazing tool that they've provided. And so it included things, the Academy included things like Google Search, you know, Google Books, Google Scholar, all of these different ways that we can use Google Search. They included, you know, Google Docs, Google Spreadsheets, an exposure on how other teachers are using them, Google Moderator, Google Earth, which, you know, allows us to look at layers on top of a globe of the Earth, so we can see real-time data from earthquakes in the last, you know, month or so, and you can see where they happened and click on them and research them. You can see, you know, a layer that shows the location of every Wikipedia article. So if you're doing research on a specific topic, you know, you can look where it is on the map and then link directly to the Wikipedia article. Or, you know, so there's just tons and tons of Google tools that are out there. So it was an exposure to those and, you know, helping us see examples of how teachers had used them in the past. This Google Teacher Academy was a little different. It was one that focused on teacher leaders or people who, you know, have the ability to then share what they learn with other teachers. And so, you know, what I learned there that I couldn't have learned somewhere else was, you know, this ability and the practice of, you know, how to then share this information and the Google Apps for Education, how to share those with other teachers and other educators in our own specific areas in the world. And so as a way to see these see applications, you know, beyond what I was familiar with using them in my own class, and also to connect with all of these teachers and this community of Google-certified teachers all around the world.
fascinating. We're talking to London Jenks, who is a science teacher, high school science teacher in the state of Wyoming. We're talking about technology in the classroom and some of the ways in which teachers today, if they know the tools are out there and available, can engage the students of the 21st century. And I think it's phenomenal. London, technology, however, really changes rapidly. I mean, sometimes as quickly as 12 to 18 months. What use do you see for smartphones in education? What possibilities are on the horizon?
I think the best part of using mobile devices for education is simply that they are mobile. I mean, that's what makes the difference there. Everyone has the opportunity to learn wherever they are. They also have the opportunity to learn whatever they want to at whatever level they're ready for. So being as it's a device that they carry with them in their pocket, I mean, they can learn in any situation. They don't have to be in a classroom or have to be in any particular place to be able to learn. And you know, there's no better customization than that. However, it's still important to know how to learn using those devices. So that's one of the important reasons why I focus on using them in the classroom, is to show students, you know, how to change it from a socializing device or a, you know, way to contact their parents when they need a ride home, to a way to learn. You know, what places can they go to learn, and how can they use it to learn as well. And one of the other greatest benefits is it provides a link between the students and their instructors, you know, whoever they might be, and the content, and making it available 24/7. You know, it can be used at any time of day, and I think that's the true power of mobile learning devices, is it's that connection to learning at any time.
Oh, very well said. We've been talking to London Jenks, everybody, talking about technology in the classroom and how he, as a science teacher, uses it to engage his students. London, if people want to learn more about you, maybe learn more about the Knowles Science Teaching Foundation, or maybe even Google Apps, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
For the Knowles Science Teaching Foundation, I would say at ksdf.org. Again, the Teaching Fellowship is a 5-year fellowship for beginning high school math and science teachers from all across the country, and they really focus on helping beginning teachers to become professionals in the field and leaders in their own schools and in education. And, you know, the best place is ksdf.org. It's a great opportunity, one of the best, you know, it's led me to a lot of the great opportunities that I have. Google Teacher Academy and Google Apps for Education, you know, again, as we say, just do a Google search for Google Apps in Education. Any school, any teacher can create an account and create, you know, as many student accounts as they want and have access to all of these great tools. You know, myself, you could look at, I'm on Twitter, LondonDJ0430 is my handle, and then my blog and website is at digitalteach.wordpress.com.
digitalteach.wordpress.com. London, it has been a true delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest, and congratulations to you on using these tools to help guide the young minds of the into the 21st century. We'll be talking to you down the road.
All right, thank you for having me.
Take care.